So let's talk through identity just a bit. I want to start here, which will seem kind of a weird place to start, but it's the right place to start. Then we will come back to it at the end, okay? Let's do it that way. Jesus is getting ready to enter ministry. He's done nothing public ministry-wise. Hasn't been tempted by the enemy yet, hasn't called disciples, hasn't done miracles, hasn't fed people, has done nothing. And he comes to John the Baptist, and it says Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Now, that's the right starting point, although it may not seem like. Now, let's talk through some intro, and then we will jump into the main text, and we will come back to it. So just kind of keep this in your mind. We'll come back to it at the end. Does that make sense? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm very well pleased," or "I'm well pleased." You know the voice. I have the voice, you have the voice. It's that internal. I read that there's a very small segment of people who don't have that internal dialogue. What do you think about? Yeah. Paint chips. Why does he eat paint chips? Yeah. Most of us have that internal dialogue. And the thing about the internal dialogue is it usually positive or negative? Yeah, overwhelmingly negative, right? That internal dialogue. Remember when you made it awkward for so-and-so? Well, which time, internal voice? Today or yesterday or the day? Yeah. Remember when you screwed up? Remember when you... Well, I don't know that you could do that. You tried that other time and you failed. You get that internal voice, right? Most of us have that inside. And this isn't positive thinking, so stay with me. But it's on repeat. And maybe it's from childhood. Maybe it's from later on in life where things have happened. You're not much. You know, you're lazy. People laugh at you. They don't take you seriously. No one really cares about you. And the hard part about it is you hear it in your own voice, which makes it so much more believable. You don't hear somebody else's voice, or you just excuse it away. You hear it in your own voice. Now, the other side of that is just as destructive, and probably isn't anybody here, although maybe. Hey, everyone wants to know what you think. Your opinion matters most. They need to hear. In fact, they can't make decisions without you. You need to talk. You don't need to listen to others. You know how to get what you want. That's the scary one. People like that freak me out. You too? Yeah. Those people, politicians. I'm just saying, they freak me out. Yeah. We'll talk through that voice, and we'll talk through identity and who we are in Christ. A few years ago, in fact, a number of years ago now, I was late to get my son. And I had to GPS it, and this is back before the Google Maps kind of thing was really, really good. And so I'm going into this neighborhood near, is it Sugarloaf? Does that sound right? 419 area? Yeah. And so it's got me crossing, take a left, take a right, take a left. And I'm just going back and forth trying to find him. And by the time I realize, and now I'm running late, and so I don't want to stop, and I'm a guy, so I shouldn't stop. Besides, I have the GPS. And I can't seem to, and it's taken me here. And then I'm crossing back over streets I've gone through before. As a matter of fact, it was 30 minutes late. Me just going through the little neighborhood. It's crazy. I finally stopped. I called my son. I said, "Dude, I can't find you. Now, where do I go?" And so the lady of the house that was waiting with my son, the last kid, left at this gathering they'd had from his school. She told him, you know, it's this. So I tried again. Can't find him. Finally, she said, "Look, I'll meet you at the donut shop." I can make it to the donut shop. I said, "Donut shop? I'll find a donut shop. I can sniff that mug out. I got you. Donut shop." Finally picked him up. And the problem was that I finally figured it out. I had, somehow or another, I had the wrong starting point to get to my destination. So it's trying to take me back while it's trying to take me forward. Again, the Google Maps has definitely gotten better. Still, every now and then, it'll run you into a house. But for the most part, it's gotten better. Just every now and then. That's okay. They were dressed. It'll happen. But here's the point. If you start from the wrong place, it gets really hard to get to the right destination, right? If you start from the wrong place, and all of us want basically the same kind of things. We're built this way. We want acceptance. We do. You can say, "I don't. I don't care about anybody's acceptance. Me and this group over here don't need anybody." Yeah, you got their acceptance. We all want acceptance, right? I was part of the "I love the goth guys." That was me, goth guys and girls. We don't need anybody's acceptance except each other's. We're all meant to be kind of tribal, to have some acceptance. We all want love, to give love, to receive love. We all want to know that we're important to someone. That's normal. That is how God made us and who God made us to be, and it's not wrong. We want to be able to look in the mirror honestly. Those are hard moments, and not recoil at what we see when we see the full view of who we are. We want that. We need that. We are made that way. Let me say it again. If I have the wrong starting point, I may never get to my desired destination. And here's the point of that. If I start with self, what I want, what I think I need, how I feel like, what I think would make me happy, my perceived needs and my perceived desires, if that's where I start, I'll take steps based on those things, and I will build my identity around that. What will get me acceptance? What will get me love? What will get me people who praise me and say I'm important to them? And I'll stumble around as I look for happiness and acceptance and love. Identity, and this is the big idea, identity detached from my Creator does not lead to a life built on the truth of how God made me and the purpose for which God made me. Identity detached from my Creator. Wrong starting point. How do I feel? What do I want? What has culture told me is important? Because whether or not you know that, that plays into it, right? I'm this person because culture has told me those are the values. It doesn't lead to a life built on the truth of how God designed me, and you are designed by your God. You have specific gifts, talents, abilities, certain passions. God designed you a certain way. And the purpose for which God made you, which, listen, is bigger than you, always. And what happens is, I need love from others, I need acceptance, I need to know I'm important, and I'm building it upon those things instead of upon the way God made me. And what we see is people who say, well, you know what, they get a little rejection, they say, I'm strong, I don't need anybody. Maybe they grew up with only one parent, and the parent didn't care. Maybe a parent walked off, and so they built this tough wall, and they say, I don't need anybody, I'm good just like I am. No, you're not. None of us are. We're meant to need love. We're meant to need acceptance. We need to know we're important to people. Oh, in fact, let me go there. It's not in the notes, but one of the ways you can hurt the person you have married most is to make them think that they're not important to you. You get hurt, and so you build the wall, and so you show apathy. You will destroy that person because you know them most, and if you reject them, oh my goodness, where else do they go? Yeah. And what we're seeing right now in our culture is great disconnection. I don't need anybody at the same time that we're chasing after what the whole crowd says is important and good and right. And this disconnect is a cognitive dissonance. Identity is important. Who you see yourself as, who you are, your sense of self, your sense of importance is incredibly important. So we'll say, I'm fierce, I'm independent, I don't need anything from anyone. Now, validate me or I'll fly into a rage, right? Did you see the GameStop video? It's ma'am! Dude, I know people who have been misgendered and they knew who they were in Christ and it didn't bother them. Maybe a little bit, but they didn't go off. But if you build your whole identity around anything other than Jesus, if somebody messes with that identity, somebody says, maybe that's not God's best for you. Maybe I just... You're going to fly off because they've gone to the core of who you are. Let me remind you from last week, just so that we know the connection. Those who call out to God in desperation and angst, those who have done that in the past have done so because they believed only God could bring wholeness through his grace and truth. Let me say it again. If you start at the wrong place, you may never arrive at the right destination. Love, acceptance, to know you're important, to be at peace with yourself, which is huge, to know your purpose in life. And so last week, and we're going to continue from that, we saw newbie Paul, last minute kind of apostle after the time of Christ, Barnabas, son of encouragement, and the OG. Let me see, because we have some folks who didn't know. What is OG? Original gangster, thank you. Who said old guy? You were looking at me when you said that, weren't you? Lord, when you strike her down, do so quickly. Don't make it hurt too much. Yes. See? Mercy. Grace. Original gangster. So Peter's a guy who walked with Jesus. And we talked about what happens where Peter eats with Gentiles and then separates. And so I want to go back into it and how it hurts the gospel. Galatians 2:6, and we'll spend most of our time there. So if you like to follow along in your scriptures, it's Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Now, from those recognized as important. Now, watch what Paul says, because we're jumping into the middle of I went up to Antioch. Now, from those recognized as important, what they once were, makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me, and others to my message. Paul goes up and he's conferring with the apostles and those who are high in the church and have a great name and supposedly have power. And you know, he looks, he says, they're just like me. They know better. What they once were really doesn't mean anything. And the reason it doesn't is because God doesn't show favoritism, power, money, fame, importance. What they once were. Why? We're the body of Christ. And it's equal ground. And in a culture that raises people up, and by the way, loves to knock them down once they get to a certain point, because that's our culture, right? Let's make an idol and then let's kill an idol and then make another idol and kill that idol. Equal ground. We're all just human beings. Ain't nobody in here with a clean litter box, is the way we tend to say it. Nobody came in here perfect. Some people may be struggling with more than others in certain areas. We're all just people. And Paul, looking at that, says, what they once were doesn't really matter. In fact, when it says God does not show favoritism, the literal on that is God does not receive the face of man. He doesn't look and say, you're important, I'm impressed. You have never impressed God with anything you have ever done. Like he didn't already know anyway. God has never went like, dude, you drive that kind of car? Can I drive your car? God has never done that. He's never said, hey, man, how'd you get to hang out with a supermodel? He's never looked at her and said, why are you with him? Well, he probably did. Never. They added nothing to my message, Paul says, and Paul is showing us that he knows who he is. He's an apostle and part of the family of Christ based on who God is. Let's go a little further. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, that's Gentiles, and Peter was, just as Peter was for the circumcised, that's Jews, since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles, let me stop there. He says, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle just like Peter is an apostle. That's what he's saying. I'm newbie. He's OG. We're both apostles. Doesn't matter. By God's grace. And so there's no pride. There is just gratitude and a desire to serve God with all that he has, knowing who he is in Christ. You see this full acceptance of the truth. And I want to show you identity, so I want to divert just for a moment. He just said, Peter's an apostle. I'm an apostle. Dude, Peter walked with Jesus. Peter walked on water. Peter was up on a Mount of Transfiguration as Jesus showed his glory. And Moses and Elijah were there representing the law and the prophets. That's Peter. Paul's a guy who persecuted the church. So how can he have that sense of self-acceptance, of identity, of knowing who he is in God, and put himself on the same basis as Peter? Is that pride? No. Watch this. We're going to jump into 1 Corinthians 15 just for a moment. Take the journey with me. Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And humanly speaking, that's true, right? There are some of us sitting in here today that if it is based on our deeds, lightning strikes and we're all dead. In fact, probably most of us. Okay, all of us. Paul says, look, I know I don't deserve any of this. I killed Christians and God called me to himself. I'm the least of the apostles, but watch this, because that's humility and that's acceptance of truth. It's true. But by the grace of God, listen, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not in vain. Truth, I've done some terrible things. Truth. Romans 7. I still struggle, he says. The things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. If you're a Christian, you know that feeling, right? I keep screwing up. But here's grace. When I screw up, I repent. And it says this, God gave me grace by the grace of God. And that grace enables me to accept who I am as I am and to continue to repent as he forms me into the image of Christ. That's an identity in Christ. not in what I do, not in how good I am, not how religious I am, how much I have, what I look like, whether or not others accept me, in Christ. That enables me to accept who I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. No bragging, no playing victim, just I am who I am. Oh man, that's mentally healthy, isn't it? No more games. Let's go further. When Peter came to Antioch, we looked at this last week. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. And when he says he stood condemned, he says, this is Paul, again, the new guy, goes to the OG with the gravitas, the guy who's been there. And he says, I opposed him to a face. Why? Because he stood condemned. He was in the wrong is literally what that means. Why? Because the gospel shows he's in the wrong. Truth is truth. That's important for you and I in this culture, in this day, in this age. Truth does not cease to be truth because somebody took a vote. Truth does not cease to be truth because Facebook fact-checked it. When Facebook fact-checks, that's when I know it's probably true. Yeah. It's missing context. Dude, you're missing I can't say that. I can't. I got to be nice. Truth is knowable. The moment you remove an objective measure of truth, right and wrong become a matter of opinion, and you have personal or cultural truth and not real truth. You and I, as believers, we believe in the Scriptures. Specifically, we believe that we live according to New Testament Scriptures in context, absolutely. But your truth isn't your truth, man. It's how you feel. It's how you think. I got that. And, man, I respect that. But truth does not cease to be truth based upon how I think or how I feel. I don't have my own version of truth. Truth is objective. It always has been. So Peter stood condemned, he says, for he regularly ate with the Gentiles. Now, if you'll remember the journey of Peter, Peter's up on a roof. Do you remember this? And they're fixing food down below, and he's caught up into a vision, and this big sheet comes down, and there's all these unclean animals, and he hears the voice from heaven, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Not so, Lord. I've never let anything unclean pass these lips." 3 times this happens. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Not so, Lord. I've never let anything unclean pass these lips. I would never touch any unclean animal." Old Testament law. And he's right. But he's under new covenant. Jesus, this is the blood, this is my blood of the new covenant. It's a new agreement. It's a change. And God says, you don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And the parenthetical that we're given in Acts is, thus making all foods clean. Ooh, ribs, barbecue. Yeah, you can now go eat that stuff. Shellfish, unless you have an allergy, take me with you. I want to watch you swell. It'll be fun. We'll get you somewhere for some help. This is Peter. He's been taught all his life that those things were wrong. And then he goes to Cornelius' house in response to the vision, because he's called. And he says, God has shown me not to call anything unclean that he calls clean. So he knows the truth. He's been set free. And he goes and he eats with the Gentiles when he's in Antioch. They're believers. They're eating together. We're all one in Christ. We've already said that, right? We're all level ground. Before certain men came from James. And these guys are Judaizers. It says, however, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself. And so he had no problem eating with them until these guys show up. And now, because of fear of them, in fact, I'll show you, he separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. And I just got to say it, that's the worst party ever. If you ever get invited to a circumcision party, don't go. Fool me once. I'm just saying, don't go. It's not a good thing. Care what you slipped in my drink, I still hurt. Don't go. He feared those from the circumcision. Fear of man is a snare, the Scripture says. When you forget who you are in Christ, listen, this is important. If you know Jesus, when you forget who you are in Christ, his acceptance, his love, you become dependent upon the opinions of man. I'd be willing to bet you some of us right here today are still dealing with that, even now. I want them to like me. I want them to accept me. You become dependent on others to validate you, even if you say you don't. Paul says what they once were. This is Paul. makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. Peter, he feared those from the circumcision party. Paul, I know who I am in Christ. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Peter, I struggle. I forget. I think I need their validation. I need their approval. Paul's sense of self is wrapped up in who God is and God's perspective. And so he is free to do what is right regardless of the cost. And you watch him, because when Paul goes to a town, man, they got fussing and fighting and throwing him into jail and threatening his life. Peter forgets sometimes. He's not free. He feared those from the circumcision party. He needs the approval of men and fears their rejection. Peter has the wrong starting place. I need to be validated by them to get to where I want to go. I need their approval. I need their love. I need their acceptance. I need to know I'm important to them. No, you don't. If you need that, you're a slave to their opinions. And in this culture, that's ridiculous, man. They'll cancel you in a heartbeat. They can love you one moment, cancel you the next. If you don't believe it, look at J.K. Rowling. In a heartbeat, it's vitally important to know who I am in Christ. Else I'll live in fear, and I will front strong, but I'll become a slave to the acceptance of others. You remember what happens from here in the story? Then the rest of the Jews joined in Peter's hypocrisy. And Paul says, so that even Barnabas, so he's like jaw on the floor, I can't believe Barnabas did this, was led astray by their hypocrisy. That's the power of influence, and we all have it. And to the degree I follow Jesus, I can help people follow him. To the degree I don't, even if I don't say a word, they're going to follow my example. And if my identity is not in Christ, I'm going to lead people astray. The gospel is at stake. When I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And I want to take just a second. This is Galatians 2. We're going to go one chapter over. Let me show you the truth of the gospel, then we're going to come back. Stay with me just for a second. Galatians chapter 3, truth of the gospel. The Bible says that the law, this is Old Testament law. Somebody mentioned something that's in the Old Testament law, one of the rules and regulations. Anybody know any of them? Don't. No mixed materials. Yeah. Mixed fibers, man, I'm going all out today. I even have my stretchy jeans on. Yeah, ooh, yeah. They like mom jeans, I like them. Yeah, no tattoos, right? Don't eat pork, we mentioned that one. There's a whole lot of rules and regulations and rules of uncleanness, and man, burn that sofa, she sat on it, and she shouldn't have sat on it right about then. There's a whole lot of rules. If you know the story behind that one, you're going, oh, yeah, those were the rules. The law, the Old Testament law, with all the rules and regulations for the Jews, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified, accepted by God, forgiven of sin, by what? By faith. Justified, accepted by God, sins forgiven. But since that faith has come, we are, what are those three words? We are no longer under a guardian. He has just said the Old Testament law was a guardian. It was to show us our sin and our need for Christ. Until Christ came, we placed our faith in Christ. And once we've placed our faith in Christ, we are no longer under the Old Testament law. That's new covenant. You are set free from that stuff. For through faith, you are all sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus. You're all children of God through faith. Greek and Hebrew and Samaritan. What of? All his children by grace through faith adopted into the family. Let me continue a little further in this in Galatians 3. For those who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Baptism is identification. When we do this in 2 weeks, there will be people who will come and they will be dunked in the water. They're saying, I identify with Christ. I am dead to self and I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I identify with him. You've been clothed, Scripture says, with Christ. What that means is, look right here. If you know Jesus, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. He sees perfection. Oh, he knows all about the stuff. But his acceptance of you, his love for you, your importance to him, he sees Jesus. You've been clothed with Christ. You're his beloved son or daughter. You are perfect in his sight. There is no Jew, no Greek. There's no slave or free. So now we've got race, what we call race these days. We've got socioeconomics, male or female. We've got gender. In Christ, we have equal value. No one greater than the other. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. If there are for you, repent. Since you're all one in Christ Jesus, regardless of circumcision, Sabbath, dietary rules, mixed fibers, and all the rest of that sort of stuff. Now let's go back to what we were just reading in Galatians 2, the truth of the gospel. When I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone. Why in front of everyone? Because he's leading people astray. This is a leader. You want to take people to the side if you can, but this is something that has to be dealt with publicly. The gospel witness is at stake. He says this, if you are a Jew and you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like, hey, don't say you hadn't been eating with them. You have. Now, he says this in front of everyone. That includes the guys that Peter was afraid of and had changed his actions in order to please. In front of those guys, too. Yeah. Now you want to support the very people who would force Gentiles to follow Old Testament laws when you weren't? That's hypocrisy. He didn't stop there. Otherwise, Peter doesn't get the reminder he needs. Listen, we are Jews by birth. We're not those Gentile sinners. I gotcha. We're not those guys. But watch this. And yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Your Jewishness doesn't save you, doesn't get you accepted by God. But by faith in Christ Jesus, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. You're a Jew? I'm a Jew? Okay, I gotcha. But guess what? It took the same blood on the same cross, the same grace through faith in Christ, the same resurrection for Jews and Gentiles. Our Jewishness and our law earned us nothing in regards to salvation, being adopted into the family. This was so that we might be justified, accepted by God, by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified, declared righteous. Let's go a little further. Paul is saying, if I have to go to Christ, I have to ask forgiveness by grace through faith, I have to face the fact that I'm no different than a Gentile sinner. You're separating from them, acting like you're better and different. You're not any different. It's all Jesus, it's all cross, it's all blood, it's all faith. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ the promoter of sin? Absolutely not. Here's what he's saying, and I need to kind of boil that down quickly. Is God cool with sin? I mean, he's accepting them, he's accepting us. We were doing law, they were doing all sorts of stuff and following false gods, and it's all about coming to know him by grace through faith. Is he cool with that? No. But is eating those foods sin? No. Christ doesn't support sin. Let's go further. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. So Peter is set free. He's now, he can eat whatever foods he wants. He can have him some good old pork barbecue tacos and some shrimp tacos. I just like tacos. He can have some tacos and he can hang out with the Gentiles. And then he goes back and says, I need to rebuild that wall. I'm going to hang out only with the Jews. I don't want to be with those unclean, uncircumcised Gentiles. Well, if I'm rebuilding something that I tore down, then I'm just showing myself to be the sinner that I am because I tore it down to begin with. That's his argument. For through the law, I died to the law. I'm not under Old Testament law, that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. This is identity now. Here we got identity. Ego, sense of self, sense of identity, sense of worth is dead with Christ. It's part of the sinful fallen nature. When I get my ego all up and I get my pride and how dare they do that to me and I can't believe they talk that way to me and can... That's sinful fallen nature. I need to always realize that. That is, has nothing to do with the faith whatsoever. My identity is wrapped up in who Christ is. He lives in me. That's my identity. I've been crucified, killed, dead, murked, toe tag, code blue with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ that lives in me, Paul says. Well, how did Jesus live? If it's Christ living in me, did he live with fear of man? Not that I can see. Did he need popularity and fame and people to validate? Not even once. In fact, at his biggest crowd whatsoever, he said things that made the whole crowd walk away. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What? They walked. They left. Was he committed to peace at the expense of truth? No, absolutely not. Don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword. Was he a thermometer or a thermostat? Have you heard that old one? They talk about it in churches sometimes. Yeah, thermometer. I'm just going to basically find out what the temperature is in the room, and I'm going to be that. I'm going to find out where my culture is, and I'm going to be that. Thermostat, I'm going to set the temp, and they can agree, disagree, I don't care. I'm just going to be who I am. That's who Jesus was. That's what we're called to be as his people. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. But let's go back to it. We said all of us need three things. I need to know that I'm important. I need to know that I'm accepted. I need to know love and to be able to give love. Those three things are important. I want to be accepted. I want to know love. I want to know that I'm important to someone. That is universal. Problem with trying to find that in people is people are flawed. And if I invest even in a spouse, all of those things are going to fail me sometimes. And that's an unbelievable weight to put on them. They can't give that to you. They're not God. Watch this. So now, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to be accepted, justified by faith, accepted by God, the only person who matters most because he knows everything, including the dark stuff. And he still accepts me. I want to experience love. He loved me with the life of his Son. God loved me, and I'm able to love him back. And he gave himself for me. That's importance. That's love. That's acceptance. That's importance. And it's all found in Christ, and that's my identity. And if that's true, then I'm not seeking it in others, so I'm free to be who he made me to be instead of who they want me to be. That's who you are as a believer in Christ. Man, it'll set you free. Paul says, I don't set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law. If I have to do things to get to God, Christ died for nothing. Hey, Peter, you've forgotten who you are. You're thinking you need to impress those people. You've got to live by fear that if they don't accept you, you don't have to do that. You're dead in Christ. You've been crucified with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Your life is hidden with him. You have no reason to fear men, Paul is saying, regardless of what they may say, they may think, they may do. Just follow Jesus. That's who you are, Peter. Here's the principle. Any identity, any sense of self, listen, that starts with me doing rather than what God has done, separates me from my Creator. Oh, that includes religion. Well, I'm a good Baptist. Well, I'm a good non-denominational. Well, I'm part of this church. Well, I've never let liquor pass my lips. That's a shame because it's pretty good sometimes. I'm just saying, but if you got a problem, don't drink. We'll edit that out. I've never this. Well, I'm this. Well, I keep these rules. Well, I dress this. Dude, your identity is this. Christ died for you, and you have nothing to commend you to God other than his death, and it's more than enough, and he accepts you fully just as you are today. This moment. And the very things he created me to need are found in him. The wrong starting point is, how do I feel? What do they think of me? What would make me happy? It's hard to get to your destination if you start with the wrong starting point. And that is our world right now, and even among some of us as believers, we can struggle with that. I don't even want to go there. I'm going to go further. God doesn't discard. God doesn't walk away. He knows the end from the beginning, and he still chooses you. As jacked up as you are. And if you're thinking, man, so-and-so needs to hear this because, man, they're messed up, and stop. You got your own stuff to worry about, right? Yeah. He still chooses you, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Because if it was based on you, you could lose Jesus. In fact, if we could lose Jesus, we would. Quickly, we're almost there. Check out Colossians. It will go with what we just read in Galatians 3. If you have been raised with Christ, that's your identity. Seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is There we go again, hidden with Christ in God. God looks at you and sees the perfection of his Son who died on the cross for you and accepts you fully. For you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now let's go back to the beginning. Jesus is getting baptized. Remember this? Read it just a little bit ago. Jesus was baptized. He went immediately up from the water. Then heavens opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Let me say it again. At this point, Christ has done nothing. He hasn't been tempted by the enemy. That'll come right after. He hasn't called disciples. That'll come after that. He's done no teaching. He's done no miracles. He's done nothing. And God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus ministers from acceptance and from the favor of the Father, not for it. You're in Christ. Your life is hidden with him. You're not trying to earn God's acceptance, God's love. You're not on the treadmill. You already have it. The same way that he looks at his Son before he does anything and says, "I'm well pleased with you." He looks at you and says, "I'm well pleased because of my Son. You're accepted and loved now, this moment. Well pleased." Jesus ministered from a place of absolute acceptance from the Father, not for it, not to earn it, and you're in Christ. Your identity in Christ means the Father, listen, is well pleased because of Jesus before you do a thing. And he continues to accept based on Jesus. That's your worth. That's your importance. That's your love. That's your acceptance. And every other thing falls short. And when we talk about this angst for God, when you get a hold of who he is, what he's done, the worth, the value that he places upon you because of who he is, man, you want more because you want to be made whole. You want to be who he sees you as. Oh, you're going to fall short. I get that. But that's what you want. That's that desire, that angst. I want to be whole in Christ. I want to not struggle with fear of man like Peter does. I want to not struggle with how I feel about myself. I want to find it in Jesus. And the more you get at him and the more you turn yourself over to him, the more you know that. We're going to pray in a moment. And the prayer is simple. God, make me your child if you don't know him. God, I want to place my faith in you. I want to have that in me. Or remind me continually who I am based upon whose I am. And by the way that you are continually reminded, you're actually going to have to open up the scriptures or open up your Bible app occasionally because it'll remind you who God is and how much he loves you. And you're probably going to need to pray a bit. But if your GPS starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus, that's really corny. But if it does, you're going in the right place. You got it. Let me take a moment. Let me pray.